Everyone agrees, bacon makes everything better. Even marketing. This is the Bacon Podcast, where you'll learn to cure your marketing.
And make your business sizzle. Can't believe I said that.
Internet marketing, online marketing, social media tips and techniques. Now, to help you bring more bacon home, the master of marketing sizzle, Brian Basilico. This is the Bacon Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps. I am so excited. I've got a great repeat guest. His name is Warren Whitlock. Now, Warren is out in Las Vegas. He is the man, the myth, the legend, and he's here today to talk about B2B marketing and why you have to use resources and time to generate the kind of business that you're hoping for. So Warren, how are you doing today, man?
I'm getting by. I'm, you know, barely struggling to breathe and be here, but you know, I'll do that anytime you want. I'm here to show up and help. I'm alive and well and living in Las Vegas.
It's a beautiful thing. So Warren, in today's business environment, I mean, you've been around in the B2B space for years. I mean, since the 80s and 90s. What are some of the differences that you're seeing today based on technology, based on social media, based on all these things that's different than it was back then?
I want to go a little bit to the offline, bigger picture, what business is like.
Okay.
And there's something, allude to something you and I have talked to before. So, hey, put that link in and get them to listen to a different podcast episode with me. But anyway, no, in the old days, we were trained, you know, sell. Sales and marketing were completely siloed and wanted to be, they hated each other. Marketing made pretty material. But you can guess which part I was in by the way I describe it. Marketing made pretty materials. PR people like did stuff like, you know, send out press releases and try to be ready if the CEO was caught with his pants down, you know, and that sort of thing. And then advertising was trying to generate leads, and sales were was where the killers were. And yes, I was in ad sales, so jaundiced view of things. But I quickly found out after I got out of college and was a supposed person that understood advertising that that selling was, first of all, not training sucked. I was told, you know, we're going to do a little bit better than the, I was in radio, and I said, we're doing a little bit better than the radio station that gives you a rate card and says, go get them, Tiger. And so I had like 3 hours of cassette tape. That was my training. And it was pretty good. It's something they call the tell me, sell me, get people talking before you try to sell them something. So it wasn't bad. It just was incomplete. They came up with some training, and in the sales training, immediately tripled my sales, did a lot better, and it was really learning to do marketing instead of sales, as we know it today. Mm-hmm. And by me, to me, that means what I've learned now that we have the internet. So we're switching back to online. You know, I went online in 1981, so I've been through just about everything. And I quickly found out that there was a lot more. There were a lot more people wanting to buy than I had time to sell to. And today, I would, you know, I'll argue with a guy saying how to do better cold calls all day long and show them where they're just wrong. Turns out to get a smart guy saying you got a cold call really is saying, well, cold calling today is a warm call. And we were calling it that in the early 80s. Regardless of what you call it, if you or I go on a Facebook group, we're going to find people talking about, as long as it's not a bunch of marketers, we're going to find people talking about how can I get more business? How can I get new leads? How come when I talk to people, they don't buy? I hear this over and over again.
So the key question is, we know that there are people out there, but you know, how do you get their attention and how do you hold their attention? Because let's face it, you just don't connect with somebody. This is, you brought up something that I call connect and pitch. People go on LinkedIn. They want to learn LinkedIn. They want to learn Sales Navigator. And all they want to do is find the buyer, find the influencer, connect with them and say, hey, I'm here. I got stuff. You want it. Let's connect. You know, yeah. Give me 15 minutes of your time. But that's not how it works.
Well, they want the golden leads.
Right.
Yeah. No one, yeah. They don't want to work. They want to find the people that'll just, you know, just buy from them. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is, if you have the golden leads, then they're going to call and gosh, we don't need a salesman. We need somebody to take the orders and the website does that. What you have to do is realize that business is about people. And social media has really brought that home. From LinkedIn on, I did social media type stuff before it was called social media. But, you know, let's start with LinkedIn. That's a good one that we both know pretty well. In 2004, I started getting these invites. I went on. I did a couple of things I normally do when I'm trying to build an audience, reached out to friends, did a mailing, et cetera, and, you know, pretty soon had a few thousand people I was connected to. Then the rest of social media came along. I wrote a, Twitter book, got, hundreds of thousands of followers, and, I constantly have people asking me for things. It works that sooner or later somebody comes looking for you, but what do you do when you're just starting out and trying to find out? You find a way to be of service. And this is the basis of networking, getting a job, finding new leads for your business, being a salesman for a business. It's all about the same thing. You've got to find the people that are anxious to hear from you. Now, you could, in the old days, some of the best ways to do that would be to go door to door and knock on the door and ask, do you want some brushes? And so, you walk up to any door and yeah, they need another hairbrush. And it wasn't offered in a supermarket. Supermarkets came along, got rid of those guys, but there was something else they need, the encyclopedias or whatever. And so today, though, anybody needs anything, they find a cell phone, they don't even have to own one, and say, hey, Siri, where do I get this knowledge? Or, hey, Google, I need to know where to find a blah, blah, blah. And
so the challenge becomes that people think that they can just go online and post content about their business and they're going to get found. But I think what most people don't understand is that's not what people are searching for. They're looking for questions that they have in their head and they're looking for the answers to those questions. And a lot of times people mistake their business best practices as answers to questions, right?
Sure. Well, and depending on what your business is, if your business, my favorite example is dry cleaner. So I always use those, a small business that everybody's heard of and they're everywhere and usually you do no marketing. But if I decide that I'm going to do a blog on, neighborhood blog, dry cleaning tips, just anything, or I make a couple of videos or something like that, search engines could find that. Now, you're going to need to follow some rules, and it's going to take a little bit of time, but that won't keep people from finding you. It'll just take a little bit of time. You want to speed that up. You turn that around and start looking for the group to help rather than trying to let people find you. So not selling in the traditional, I'm going to pound on doors until, throw enough spaghetti, make the some of it stick to the wall kind of thinking. Or carpet bombing in advertising is what they used to call it, where you just, hey, everybody needs our product. Let me get on the Super Bowl and everybody will know. In the 60s, you could do that. TV was this new wonder and you could do that. Today, prohibitively expensive, especially if you're in a small market. So why not go out and find a place to serve people? Let's just say you don't know what you're selling. You're not sure how to describe it and who the target market is. But you wouldn't be in business or selling if you didn't have some idea of that. But let's drop that right now. Say you don't even have that. You can go to any, service club. I like Chamber of Commerce because they're the, right size of businesses, networking group, whatever. And there'll be somebody ready to glad hand you and say hello, try to recruit you for the organization. But when you're the visitor, when you're the new guy, you ask, you tell them exactly what we're asking about. I want to help. I want to get involved in the community. I don't know where to start. And they'll give you something to do. If it's setting up chairs, don't think of it as busy work they're giving to somebody because they don't want to do it. Think of it a way to build a bond with the other guy putting up chairs or the guy who asked you to put up chairs. You do it. You You work with people first, then you worry about what you're going to sell them. Now, as you get more sophisticated, you add to that. I haven't helped set up chairs in an awful long time. You know, I go someplace, I get introduced to somebody and say, who should I meet here? And they start pointing in direction. And so, you know, and I know it's true. I've been doing it now over 40 years. When I sold radio advertising, I would say that, you know, give me 15 minutes and I'll figure it out some way that radio advertising can help your business. But I never bring it up. I would go and talk to the person about their business for 15 minutes and they would ask me. So you work for the radio station. You think radio would be good for me? The exact question I wanted in their mind. I didn't want somebody saying, oh no, the radio salesman's going to try to sell me some ads. I wanted them asking, you know, could I possibly buy from you?
So let's wrap this up in a neat bow. Let's try to figure out how we take everything we talked about. We talked about networking, getting the message in people's heads, being a connector in the sense that you go to a networking meeting and you serve. So how do we get this into the social media world, and how long should people expect for this to take? Because I can tell you right now, most of the people I work with want immediate results, and it's so hard to get.
Right. Yeah, you start off with an ad budget and I can get your phone ringing today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not a matter of whether or not it can be fast. But, you know, that's, I think there's the old saying about fast, cheap, and good quality, you know, and you have to pick two of the three. There are limitations to it. So we'd be lying when we say we got some trick where you're going to walk any room into any room and walk out with the customer.
But the thing about advertising, I think that people understand too, is you can make the phone ring. I say this all the time to people. I can get you 1 million visitors to your website today for $300. It's easy. The only problem is they don't speak English. They speak Indian and Russian.
Well, I mean, that would, to me, that's just a dumb way to advertise. You can spend $300 and get the phone ring with somebody looking for what you do. You know, but you better know what you want and you better know how to close them when they call. So let's back up for a moment and say, it's not that advertising is bad.
Exactly.
Or, you know, not as efficient. It's that it's not the place to start. The place to start, as you said before, is to know what you have for somebody and how to put that into an offer and get that ready first. But I swear to you, in my Chamber of Commerce example, I did not know that. I went to the Chamber of Commerce because I had never been to a Chamber of Commerce meeting before. And when I had sold radio advertising, you know, we were members of the Chamber of Commerce, but I had never gone like as a representative of any business, let alone mine. And so now I'm in a town where I knew nobody. I had not joined the Chamber of Commerce. I had not prepped for this at all. I literally said yes to somebody I met someplace who said, or I may have even like called them out of the phone book. I can't remember. But, you know, for whatever reason, I showed up there to eat lunch, and it was a free lunch because I wasn't a member. And so I got in for a free lunch and had a customer that day. And so I know I've done it. Now, I had sales experience before I did that, and I had something of value to offer that guy. But I didn't sit down to him next and say, hi, I'm here and have a new business. I need my first customer. No, I went to and sat down. I found out something about his business. He told me all about what his latest project was. And I said, wow, have you ever thought of blah, blah, blah? And he ended up saying, yeah, can you help me with that? And we did it. And so it can happen that fast. The thing is, are you willing to do the work or spend the money to make this happen? And if you don't have the knowledge of what you want to sell, you're not even ready to start.
So the key question is, if you know, is it better to spend the money and make it happen fast, or is there another plan to actually, you know, I'm not saying you have to wait forever, but in reality, it usually takes a little more time than just going for a free lunch at a Chamber of Commerce.
Right. I sold advertising for nearly 10 years. And all during that time, we used to joke about how people that just didn't get it, and they were saying, you know, I don't know, I need to try something. You have anything I can spend like $25 on and see if it worked. By the way, pay-per-click, there are some things you can spend under $50. But, you know, back in this time, no, we needed somebody to come up. We needed to create a commercial, put it on the air, blah, 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 do all that kind of stuff. You wanted a newspaper ad, anything. It was going to require some work to get it done. And so we'd say, why can't these people see it that you need to budget to, you know, to spend X number of dollars a month, whether that's $100, $500, $10 million. Then I opened my own business and it came around trying to sell me ads. And I realized that when I took money to spend on advertising, it was money I wasn't taking home. That all changes when you're no longer thinking about money coming out of the till to pay for the ads is money you're not going to get to spend on your family that month. You do have to get to a certain point till you really can get serious about using ads. And then the secret is you got to try something. You know, the dumbest thing I've ever heard from a person that was playing around with marketing and advertising is, we've tried that and it doesn't work. If your competitor's doing it, it works. If, you know, if other people in your industry are doing it, it works. So it's not a question of whether it works. Your message, your headline, the day you chose to run the ad, et cetera, whether or not you went on Google AdWords or put up a sign in front of your shop, it makes a big difference. You know, if you're at the end of a dead end lane that nobody ever drives on, putting up a sign is not going to help. In most cases, signs are good, but it just depends on matching the medium to the message, the offer, and that takes some trial and error. So one of the greatest copywriters I ever met had done, you know, billions of dollars in sales and various projects through his life, invented the corporation that isn't, you know, back in the 70s, if you wanted a corporation, you had to see an attorney. And he bucked that conventional wisdom and sold how to incorporate yourself. And if you've ever heard of books about that, they all come from a guy named Ted Nichols. He's the first to do it back in the 70s. And he did this along with sell candy in a high traffic resort area and all sorts of things. And so you get to know him, he's telling you these stories, books, seminars, and one-on-one conversations I've had with him over the years. He emphasizes how his batting average is about 1 out of 9. Extremely bad. He's done extremely dumb things and spent, you know, $100,000 on a print run of a book only to find out it wouldn't sell, and literally ripped the cover off the book and put on a new one, and managed to figure out a way to sell. And he says, the perseverance of going through the testing and the rigor of making sure if you test something, you know what happened. How many times did the phone ring? Who called? That sort of thing. And yeah, never falling for the, I'm going to get you 1 million people for $300. That's just, you know, I mean, it's not about quantity. It's about quality. Can you get a sale for $300 is what you really ought to be asking. Once people figure out that you can help them, in my case, it was advertising. When you did that on Twitter, people used to tell me, what's the secret? How do you sell stuff on Twitter? And I'd answer, well, the secret to selling on Twitter is to stop trying to sell stuff on Twitter. You make connections. You talk to people. And then they say, yeah, but how many followers should you have? I need to get some more followers. And I tell them about the woman that Conan O'Brien followed. I don't know if you recall this story, but Conan O'Brien was between gigs. He'd worked for NBC and I think he's at TBS now. And so in that year between the gigs, he was trying things. And one thing he did was try Twitter. And it's the kind of, you know, he's a celebrity that got 1 million followers in no time. And then he decided he'd follow one person. I would imagine that's a joke. But that one person didn't have to tell people how many followers they had. They got famous off of having one. So it just depends on who you connect to. And you can't go through life planning to make that happen. You don't go say, what celebrity will follow me? Same with in sales. You don't go around saying, where can I, you know, let me pitch every Uber driver hoping. And so when somebody tells me that they just need to know, where can I go get some clients? My answer is always, start doing the work. It's going to happen. You know, if you're not confident that you can do it, please take some of my confidence. It's possible.
Absolutely. Well, Warren, as usual, man, you delivered some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs to my peeps. And I really appreciate you coming on and doing this. If people wanted to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Just type Warren Whitlock, WarrenWhitlock, into a the search engine of your choice, and you'll find me. I'm WarrenWhitlock.com. I'm Warren Whitlock on Twitter. I do answer people. Please, you know, find a tweet or a social media post from Brian and put hashtag bacon and share it. If you use my name, I'll see it. If you don't use my name, that's a good thing to do anyway. When you find something you like, share it with the world. If you get in the habit of helping other people get what they want, you will get what you need.
Absolutely. Well, Warren, thanks again, man, for joining us. I really appreciate you and your time, and it's been a pleasure as usual. Looking forward to the next one.
We did it.
Well, that's it for today's Bacon Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something today. If you did, please go to iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate all your feedback and comments. If you have any questions, go to www.baconpodcast.com/questions, and we'll make sure we get those answered for you. Till next time, keep sizzling.